Revelation chapter 6, and we're going to be looking at mainly just seals 2 through 4 in this area of Scripture. And if you don't mind, maybe you can stand up and we can read through this area of Scripture together. I'm going to back up to verse 1. We're going to read it as a package. Now I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures saying with a voice like thunder, "Come and see." And I looked, and behold, a white horse. He who sat on it had a bow, and a crown was given to him, and he went out conquering and to conquer. When he opened the second seal, I heard the second living creature saying, "Come and see." Another horse, fiery red, went out. It was granted to the one who sat on the throne to take peace from the earth, and that people should kill one another, and there was given him a great sword. When he opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature say, "Come and see." So I looked, and behold, a black horse, and he who sat on it had a pair of scales in his hand, and I heard a voice in the midst of the four living creatures saying, "A quart of wheat for a denarius, and 3 quarts of barley for a denarius, and do not harm the oil and the wine." When he opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth living creature saying, "Come and see." So I looked, and behold, a pale horse. The name of him who sat on it was Death, and Hades followed him. And power was given to him over a fourth of the earth to kill with a sword, with hunger, with death, and by the beasts of the earth. Let's pray. Dear Father, these are heavy verses that we're reading here. What I know is that this definitely is going to happen. This is your word, and your word is truth. It gives me a somber feeling whenever I read these verses, because something I see that's different than what we've seen the rest of the time that the earth has been here is these things have happened in small measure throughout the ages. But you've always been the goodness in the world that has restrained it from taking over. When we look at this area of Scripture, Lord, what's different about this is you're actually the one commanding it to be done fully. This is your wrath. This is what it begins to look like at the beginning of the tribulation. It's a sorrow like the earth has never seen, because all the other time, it's been Satan trying to harm and do these things, and you've been restraining. But in this area of Scripture, we see what it's going to look like whenever you finally say it, "It's time." I have the title deed to earth, and I'm taking it back. This is the end. Lord, thank you that we haven't actually come to the point that this is final in our day yet, because there's still a lot of people who need to be saved. Thank you that you've been patient. Nobody knows the day or the hour. We just know it will happen. So how now shall we live, Lord? Show us. Teach us. Help us to look at these verses and take them seriously. Not so that it takes away our joy to live for you, so it increases our joy to live for our Savior, because you have promised us that you will keep us from this hour of trial if we are faithful. If we just stay with you, we're safe. Doesn't mean we won't feel hardship or types of tribulation, but you'll carry us through it. You are sufficient for the day of trial. Lord, help us to warn others. Help us to be absolutely intentional about trying to bring others close to you while there's still the opportunity. We thank you, Lord, that you're good. We thank you for giving us your word, because it's the truth. We thank you for giving us this word so that we would actually be encouraged to live for you now. So help us, Lord, to be encouraged today. In Jesus' name, amen. Y'all can have a seat. We're going to kind of take this and break it down just a little bit. First of all, we see in verses 1 through 2 that the Antichrist is the one who comes, and he's the predecessor to, like, really opening up the whole world to being at war with one another. You know, we've called, like, different times in our history, you know, World War I, World War II, and we understand that like, we kind of see that as being a time whenever there were great wars that involved a lot of the known world. But just imagine if there was, like, no civility left on earth, that God just pulled back his grace, and he pulled back, you know, that conscience in man to where people would rather just destroy you as to look at you. And I know we see little glimpses of that, and we think, man, how could it get any worse? I'll tell you what, without God's grace, it's going to get a whole lot worse. And so to find our shelter and harbor in him, like, we should, you know, find our safety in him, but we should also be very intentional about reaching out to other people right now. You know, we see a lot of things culminating in the world, don't we? I mean, there's a lot of stuff that's kind of brewing. And we're saying, you know, could this be what lines up with these areas of Scripture? Well, I can tell you one thing. The rapture hasn't happened yet. And we're all still here, all the Christians that are alive right now. And so I don't believe that the seals have started opening yet. But I believe God's letting us see little glimpses of what it would look like just in small measure so that we'll believe, so that we will be intentional about witnessing to others and helping people come to Christ. So just remember in that next slide there, if you want to stay with me back there, Antichrist is the predecessor of the world war. And I mean, this is going to be at this point, as it's being described, like the whole world, like God just actually curses the world at this point, that everybody that's still left, imagine if the whole church that exists right now was just taken out all at once, what would you have left? You would have a lack of restraint. You would have a lack of love. You would have do you realize how instrumental that God's people have been throughout the centuries of bringing peace on the world, bringing blessing, bringing relief, bringing love to hurting people? You know, every major benevolence effort in the world has had its beginnings in the modern day in Christianity. And you know, our world is telling us it's all just secular goodness, but I'm telling you, without God, there isn't any goodness. Even if you see glimpses of goodness in an individual who's not saved, you know, that glimpse of goodness is still God showing that he created that person and they were created in his image. God has a purpose, and he really brings it to bear through the church. And if he were to pull all that goodness out at once, man, you would have mass chaos and evil and wickedness and murder. If we look at that second seal, who's tearing these seals off again? Who's opening these seals? Remember, they can't be put back on once they're pulled. It's literally Jesus, the Lamb, who is worthy, right? And he was the only one in heaven that was worthy to do this. In fact, John wept whenever they couldn't find anyone else, but Jesus came forth, looking like the Lamb who was slain, saying he's the only one that's worthy to do this because he earned it. By dying on that cross, by giving his perfect life so that he could be the one. By being the one, he says, you know, he pulls back that first one, and it allows the Antichrist to take his seat of power. Once he takes his seat of power, he gains popularity. He takes it without war. He looks like he's going to bring peace to the world, and he deceives people to the point that they believe it. He becomes that one world leader. You know, there is a push all the time for that in our world today. And people would say, well, then it's forced by the devil. No, the devil's posturing himself because he knows the time will come. He just don't know when. But he's ready to push that one up to the top who will take that position. Because you know what he does? He does what he does. He deceives and he kills and he destroys. And even though he knows eventually he's going to end up in the lake of fire, he just wants to do what he does until that time comes. Because he just does what he does. He's evil to the core. But we see that after that, that first seal is pulled off, can't be put back on. It's pulled off. Then this next seal is opened. And whenever it's opened, the second seal, the next thing in the progression of evil from the Antichrist to this and taking the church and the goodness out, you just have people incited and it's like without conscience just to kill one another. This isn't just God reaching down and killing them. He's just removing the restraint that people would just do what people do if they're unrestrained. Praise God we have restraint today, amen? And it's not just any kind of just general goodness. It's God himself that's keeping that. He uses, you know, he uses the authorities on earth and things of that nature to try to control this. But ultimately, the real control is right here, that God puts that conscience in our heart. Because I tell you, without that, there's just no end to the evil that people will do. It'll be a dreadful time. And from that, in progression as well, from that Antichrist, that wicked ruler bringing about world war, to then we have inflation and famine that follow that. You know, we've seen this in small ways. This is a progression of evil that it does. It's a chain reaction that happens. It's happened after just about every war that's ever been fought in the world. But I will warn us, inflation brings about famine. What do we have in our nation right now? Inflation. It's affecting our food supply. We do need to take it seriously. We have it restrained right now, and we're part of the restraint, so we should act if we know what it's going to bring about. We should act accordingly. Make sure you're prepared to do your part. Because in the United States, we are a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. So vote. Be a part of it. Be a part of the solution. Because the seal hadn't been torn off yet. We understand once these seals are torn off, there's no turning back. But we haven't made it to that point yet. Praise God. Amen. Raise your hand if you're happy. We still have a chance. Be a part of it. Be a part of the solution. Be bold. Speak truth. Speak truth as we have opportunity. Spread Jesus. Spread love. But spread truth. As we look, this inflation brings about this famine, and it all follows that just that war aspect that goes on. If we look as he opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature say, come and see. So I looked and behold a black horse. What does black represent? It's like death, brings about death, right? And so we look at what he has. He's got a pair of scales in his hands. He's going to control commerce. And look at how he's going to control it. He's going to control it. By making a quart of wheat cost a day's wage. You're going to work all day and all you're going to get is barely enough food to survive for you to survive on, your family. Do we feel the pain here? You look at the world. This has happened other times in other places. Amen? You see pictures of, you know, like pre-World War II days of them bringing, you know, there was already conflict in that area of the world coming out of World War I. There was a lot of inflation. There was a whole lot of people that were controlling the market. Pretty soon you see people with wheelbarrow loads of money to go and buy a couple loaves of bread. You want to live in that? Thank God the seal hadn't been pulled off yet. So we're not bound to it yet. So let's not willingly dump ourselves into it. Let's live like God shows us while we still have a chance. Let's encourage others. Because I'll tell you, this doesn't look like a good idea to me. A quart of wheat for a denarius and 3 quarts of barley for a denarius? Barley was worth less, but still a day's wage. Everything you could earn in a day just to have enough to live that day. And do not harm the oil and the wine. You know why it says don't harm the oil and the wine? Because those were really precious. Don't you dare spill a drop. Because, you know, to have that to make your bread is going to be a precious thing. Did you ever try to survive just eating wheat by itself? You know? I mean, you ever pick up wheat? It ain't very good. But like if you grind it up and you have a little oil and you have a little something to put with it, you can make something kind of good out of it. And what this is saying is it's going to be really hard to get the oil and the wine. The wine represents purification of your water and things of that nature, medicinal goodness, the things that we survive on. It's going to be a sad time. Let's not ask it on ourselves. Know that it will come and prepare people for the day so that they can be protected in Christ whenever that seal starts being pulled off. But we look from that in progression of evil. So we got the Antichrist that brings in world war, that brings in inflation and famine. Following that war, to the next thing you see is desperation, murder, and death follow that inflation and famine. When people feel desperate, then they just kill more. It's sad. If you take God's grace and his goodness out of this, this is what we're going to see. But I'll tell you guys, we're seeing it in small measure right now. Did you see what happened with those horrible times of these riots in these different cities? And people that were in control that could have stopped it did nothing. One of them is running as a vice president this year. Makes me sick to my stomach. Had a chance to save one of the cities in his own state that he's a governor. It did nothing. It was like he wanted to see it destroyed. God help us all. I tell you guys, this is a mark of a forsaken land when this begins to happen. If we do nothing, it's like we're asking to be forsaken. We need to do something while we still have an opportunity, because here we see at the end the church is going to be raptured out, and then this stuff's going to start happening. There ain't going to be no turning back. Let's stand for what is good. Let's call people to salvation now so that they can be protected during this time. What we see is, as they open that fourth seal, I heard the voice of a living creature saying, come and see, and I looked, and behold, a pale horse. What's the condition of someone when they get to looking really pale? Languishing. Death is at hand. A pale horse, and the name of him who sat on it was Death. Hades followed him. And power was given to him over a fourth of the earth to kill with the sword, with hunger, with death, and by the beasts of the earth. There's just a lot of death going on in this area of Scripture. And so we would say, oh my goodness, what do we do? I say, cling to Jesus. Be ready. You have the chance now. If you don't know Jesus, ask him to forgive you of your sins and be the Lord of your life. Make sure you know it. Make sure he knows you. How can you know if he knows you? He'll send the Holy Spirit to live in you. And then you don't have to be afraid of these verses. Second thing is, let's not do it willingly now. That's what I see as a world that's stepping into this stuff in complacency and just saying, I give up. Don't give up. Live. Live for Jesus. Live for Jesus whenever you walk down the street. Live for Jesus whenever you go to work. Live for Jesus in your home and in your family. Live like intentionally for Jesus all the time. Because if you will, God will bring about a revival. He's done it before. He hasn't started tearing the seals off yet. Believe me, we'll know it whenever it happens, because I believe we who are Christians will already be with him. We'll be watching him as he comes forward and he takes up the scroll and he starts pulling the seals, unleashing this just completely unrestrained judgment on the world, and it's a frightening thought. But listen to what this says. And power was given to him over a fourth of the earth to kill with the sword. Guys, do you know how many people there are in the world right now? Around 8 billion people is estimated. So let's say you subtract all the Christians out. I don't know. I don't know how many Christians there are. Only God knows. But let's just say we'll take a billion of people off the earth. I don't know. You still got 7 billion. Take a fourth of those and have them all die in just a very short period of time. Imagine what that's going to look like. Do I really believe it's a fourth? Yeah, because it says a fourth. God knows the number. So imagine somewhere like a billion and a half people dying in a short period of time, maybe a week or a month or whatever. Imagine what that would be like. And that's just the beginning. These are just the seals to the judgments. There's bowl judgments. There's all this other that we're going to read about. And some would say, you know, it scares me to read that. I say, be sure that you're in Christ, and you don't have to be afraid for yourself. But then be intentional about telling it to the people you love. How dare we sit over here and sing kumbaya for ourselves and not care about the people that don't know Christ? That's not love. Love is to be honest with them, to say for real. Like, if that is what your life is about and it's not about Christ, then you have everything to fear. But instead, we're over here trying to be diplomatic on everything and trying to be woke. And we're just setting people up for destruction. How dare us? We have a chance. We have an opportunity now. Let's live for Christ now. I want you to remember the promise that Jesus made to the church of Philadelphia. Remember, we did those seven churches at the beginning of this thing, and I said those were seven real churches, but they also represent the whole church. And so this promise that was given to Philadelphia is available to us as well in chapter 3, verse 10 of Revelation. Because you have kept my command to persevere, I also will keep you from the hour of trial which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. Be faithful in Christ. Keep his command to persevere. You think that you've had trials in your life, and I'm sure you have. We all have. But don't give up. Persevere through them. Because in the end, we're going to have Jesus standing there waiting on us. It'll be worth it. There's nothing that you have in your way that is going to seem like it wasn't worth going through when you get to Jesus. He is at the end of this race. You ever see a marathon? It gets really long. Do you ever see those poor people running that thing? I mean, there's a few people, like Norman Forbes. He probably still looks good at the end. I don't know. But I know how I'd be feeling, man. I feel like my legs are rubber. I don't think I can do this. I just don't know. And I come around the last corner, and there's that loved one standing. And you'll see them. They're standing at the sideline at first, but they see their loved one come around. And they look like they're not going to make it. And they get out on the other side of the finish line, and they're going, come on, you can do it. And they give them hope. They give them strength for those last few steps so that they make it. That's Jesus. If you'll stay close to him, he's out there. He's already made it, and he's saying, come on, you can do it. I'm here. I'm your strength. Call on me, and I'll get you there. That's what Paul was telling Timothy, when we look at 2 Timothy chapter 2, I'm going to ask you to turn in your Bibles to this. We're going to read 12 verses in the end of our discussion on this today. And I want you to look at them in your own Bible. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. I want you to hear Paul's words to Timothy, his son in the faith. This is one that was so dear to his heart because Timothy cared about the things of God. He poured into him. He mentored him. He was passing off the baton to him. Paul's at the end of his life and he knows it. Listen to what he has to say here in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. In the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen on that one? You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. The hardworking farmer must be first to partake of the crops. Consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ, of the seed of David, was raised from the dead according to my gospel, for which I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even to the point of chains. But the word of God is not chained. I don't care how woke the world gets, the word of God is not chained. We must stick to it. We must continue to preach it, and we must live it. Amen? Therefore, I endure all things for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. This is a faithful saying. For if we died with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. Guys, I want you to know, if you stick with Jesus, you're going to make it past the finish line. Don't fear the verses that we read. Be encouraged to follow Jesus all the closer. Be encouraged to preach it to others. Be encouraged to be straightforward about it. Let's stop with all of the mealy-mouth preaching, and we're going to try to make it, you know, Try to make it palatable for everybody. You know, whenever you preach the straight gospel and you live it, sometimes people are not going to like it. It don't mean you're doing it wrong. Paul didn't go back and say, man, I sure wish I would have watered it down. I think people would have liked me better. I think I could have had more followers. You know, guys, followers are great for Facebook. Not so good for heaven. Can't just have fans. We need real children of God, people that really follow Jesus, not just click a button. So let's pray that God would be bringing forth a revival and an awakening during these days that look pretty desperate right now. But I can assure you, the seals aren't being torn off yet. There's no turning back once that starts. The reason why I'm truly believe that with all my heart is because I do believe that God's going to rapture his church out first. It's going to be a surprise event. And what we see happening right now is a prelude to it, a warning. These are like shots over the bow saying, turn back now before it's too late. God is saying, repent. Let's repent first of our own. And let's pray for the world that we might see a true awakening. Let's pray. Dear Father, as we come to you today, we pray that we will not only be absolutely sure of our own relationship with you, but that we would be absolutely sure of our calling. That relationship with you means we are called. Called as priests. Called to go out and reconcile people to God. We're not called to save anybody. We're just called to introduce them to the one who can. All of us as believers in Christ have that calling. Help us to live it seriously, intentionally, and to know the end will come. I just pray that people will be prepared. The end will come for all of us, whether it's being raptured up or in a day that's unexpected or just passing on from this world at a time we never expected as well. Either way, it's final. Where we are with you is where we will be with you forever and forever and forever. And I pray that we would all know that we'll be with you in heaven. Help us, Lord, to be sure of that. If anyone doubts, I pray they'll come to the altar and surrender their heart to you today. If some of us know that we've started that journey with you, but there's some things we need to do in that journey because there are disciplines that go along with it, that we should make a commitment today to follow through with that next step of faith. Help us, Lord, have your strength to do it all. In Jesus' name, amen.